Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure. Continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. And I'm glad we got our friend Pamela Harper with us, ladies and gentlemen. Pam has been a member of our Brain Trust for a while now, several years. She's a nationally known consultant and speaker. She's the founder and the president of Business Advance Incorporated, and she's been helping companies like yours and mine put their best foot forward in the marketplace for quite a while now. She's the author of Preventing Strategic Gridlock, and she has been doing quite a bit of work recently, and we've been the beneficiaries of this work on innovation. That's what she's here to talk to us about today. Pamela Harper, welcome back to the show.
Ah, pleasure to be here, Jim.
It's always a pleasure to have you back. Innovation is a very appropriate thing to have on your mind these days. One of the things you and I both know, and as we've talked with other people in our Brain Trust in the last year or so, the thing where we are and where we're headed is what some people are calling the new normal. I don't, as my audience knows, I don't even like that word normal because I don't even know what that means because there's not too much normal about what's going on these days.
No, that's absolutely true.
But where we're going is going to look a lot different from where we've been. And if you can't be innovative, you're not going to be successful in where we're going, are you?
No, not at all. In fact, it's very important to be innovative as we're facing all kinds of changes in the business environment. And one of the ways that companies of all sizes, and especially small businesses, can be innovative is through partnering. And
Pam, I want to stop you for a second.
Yes.
I'm glad you're going there because that's a very important topic. But before we do that, I want you to take a moment and talk to the audience about what you think when you think of the word innovation, when you think of being innovative, when you think of an innovator. Tell me what you're thinking.
I'm thinking that it is a person or a company, an organization that can add value in new ways. And that can look like all kinds of things. You know, we get trapped into thinking innovation is one thing, such as a product or a service, but it's all kinds of ways of adding value. And so innovation is something that we have to take a broader look at.
Would you agree that someone who's an innovator is not as likely to say, this is the way we've always done it?
That's true.
And an innovator is someone who's like, or a company that's innovative is a company that's less likely to say to a customer, well, I'm sorry, but that's just our policy.
Well, getting stuck in policy can be a real trap.
Yeah.
And the important thing is always looking at how can we add new value to our customers. That's the key to surviving and thriving in this economy.
But everybody wants to add value, Pam. But the deal is, though, some people can't get out of their own way. And they're the ones that aren't being innovative. And by that, I keep coming back to this idea that, folks, if you're doing things the way you've always done it, if you can't make adjustments, if you can't move 3 feet over, if you can't accept the fact that what you're being presented is, even if it hurts, if it's painful to look at or to hear, or you know it's going to hurt if you make an adjustment, if you can't deal with that, then you're less likely to be innovative. What do you think, Pam?
I think that everybody has a potential to be innovative, and it's just really understanding what you're trying to accomplish with it. And so rather than getting caught up in whether this policy or that policy is right, looking at what are we trying to accomplish? Mm-hmm. What else are we trying to do for our customers? Because, of course, being in business is all about serving customers, right?
That's exactly right. And see, and I'm glad you keep going back to that because that's very important. Because some people might say being innovative is another way for some people of saying they don't know what they stand for. But as long as what you stand for is adding value to customers, then that's a good grounding rod for innovation, isn't it?
it's an important one. It's the key aspect of innovation to me. And there are so many ways to be innovative. And that's where I was saying taking on a partner or
right.
partnering is one of the ways that companies can be innovative in this kind of business environment. But it's important also to ask yourself if you are ready
mm-hmm.
to partner.
Everybody is not automatically ready to do that. I agree with you. In 1998, I started talking to my audience about the three things that they would have to be able to do in the 21st century in order to be successful. One was to leverage technology. Two was to network. And three was to build strategic alliances. And that's what you're talking about.
It's absolutely what I'm talking about. And but there are some questions that you really have to ask yourself. I think really I would sum it up by saying, know thyself. Before there's ever a prospective partner on the scene, know thyself. Know thyself before networking. Know thyself before getting a prospective partner. And so
and when you say
I
partner,
have a few
Pam,
questions.
When you say partner, you're not necessarily talking about a formal, official, recorded, documented, filed at the courthouse partnership.
No, that's right. I'm not. I'm talking about all kinds of partnerships. For instance, alliances can be very loosely knit. You know, hey, I'm going to put out a new product, and maybe you can help me get the word out about it. So a very loose kind of thing to a very mm-hmm. Tightly, legally bound partnership. But there are certain principles, I think, that are the same in terms of the kinds of self-knowledge that you have to have. And that's where I think we can talk.
Right. No, I agree with you. A partnership could be where you say to a colleague or someone who's doing something similar to you, there's a course that I'd like to take. Why don't we drive there together and save money? I mean, it could be as simple as that.
Absolutely.
Or it could be there's a proposal that I would like to pursue, but I don't have this capability. You do. Let's do it together. It could be something like that.
Well, that's right. And I think so many partnerships can really enable you to be innovative about the way that you're going about adding value to customers. But again, there are some things that you have to really think about for yourself before you ever go out and propose.
And that's what we're going to, when we come back after these messages, I'm going to have you talk to us about know thyself. Are you ready to be a partner? And I tell you what, folks, this is very important. If you haven't had this word with yourself, so to speak, about this, you might mess up the first one or two until you can learn these things. Pam's going to help us with that right after these messages. Pamela Harper is our guest. Her book is called Preventing Strategic Gridlock. The late, great Richie Valens, ladies and gentlemen. His mama named him Ricardo Valenzuela. But we know him as Richie Valens, and we still miss him after all these years. 23 after, I'm Jim Blassingame. Welcome back, and we got our good friend Pamela Harper with us, folks. She's the author of Preventing Strategic Gridlock. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Check out all the other things there as well. If you're on Twitter and you want to follow me there, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Pamela, tell us how we can find you and your book, please.
Well, you can find me at businessadvance.com, and actually I have a special blog post for listeners today at pamharper.com.
All right.
Are you ready to partner?
All right. So if you want to follow up on that, folks, check that out, pamharper.com, and read some more about what we're talking about right now, which the primary focus of this from here forward, Pamela, is the gut check, the looking at yourself, asking yourself, am I a good candidate? Am I, as you said earlier, know thyself? Or as Apollonius said to Falstaff, I think it was, this to thine own self be this above all to thine own self be true. And so how do you do that? How do you look at yourself and say, okay, I think I'm a pretty well-rounded guy. I think I'm pretty cool, but maybe I'm not good partner material. Go ahead.
Well, I would start with, not that maybe I'm not good partner material, but how can I be at my best? What is it that we need to be working through? And there are five questions on my blog post that I've listed, but I'm only going to have time for a couple here.
Okay.
The first one, I think, is asking, how would a partnership or an alliance of any sort support our long-term vision, mission, and strategy? And what's interesting here, Jim, is, of course, this presumes that you have a vision, mission, and strategy. And I know that in working with some small businesses, they don't.
Right.
You know, it's a
well, you'd be amazed how many big businesses don't either.
Well, this is true, too, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But so it really is all about starting with the end in mind.
Isn't part of wondering about a partnership where you identify things that you need that you don't have, and you make the value judgment of, okay, should I capitalize those things? Should I buy those things, put them in service? Should I hire somebody and bring that person on? Or am I going to need this enough? Am I going to need this skill or this capability enough that it justifies that? Maybe I should bring in somebody who already has that. We partner for a while, and then we go our separate ways.
Well, that certainly is an approach.
And that's part of the strategy we're talking about, right?
Talking about the strategy, but talking about really focusing not only on the short term, which a lot of people will look at, you know, the logic of doing it in the here and now, but also long term. Because the thing is, in this business environment, priorities change. The business world changes. And so it's not a quick fix to have any kind of an alliance,
mm-hmm.
Even a very loose one. So if you're going to do it, you need to be asking, does this make sense, not just in the short term, but does this make sense, say, even a couple years out? I think that the most successful partnerings I've ever seen have had a little bit of a longer-term approach in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first point. And there are other questions to ask, too.
But again, as we said in the previous segment, they don't have to be long-term. They can be short-term.
They can be short-term.
And don't you think it's a good idea to take baby steps to do some short-term stuff at first?
Well, I think short-term is certainly an important need to address. The reason for looking at both short-term and long-term is because an alliance doesn't happen very quickly. In fact, another question that you have to ask is, do we have the resources and skilled staff to manage a relationship? Because it does require...
You do need to ask yourself those questions, don't you? You need to say, okay, what kind of new requirement will this alliance bring on to my organization?
Well, that's right. For instance, I've known of situations where, in one case, this was two small companies, and they realized that they actually didn't have the bandwidth
mm-hmm.
to manage each other. Now, the
mm-hmm.
alliance made sense strategically, but it didn't make sense from the standpoint that they didn't have time for each other.
There's another thing in partnering or creating alliances that I think is essential, Pam. I'd like to know your thoughts on this. And that is, I found that that if the values of which includes work ethics, the work ethic, just ethics in general, if the values of the alliance partners aren't compatible, that's a failure waiting to happen. What do you think?
It's a critical component of making any type of relationship work. In fact, nowadays, of course, we can partner with anybody anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to not only think about whether from my values as a business, but also my values as a person who's in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to be culturally compatible with somebody, say, in China?
One of the ways I found people who were alliance prospects was just getting to know them over time, maybe over years, and then cultivating that relationship and then perhaps becoming alliance partner rather than just trying to find somebody brand new.
You make an excellent point. It's essential to spend some time really understanding who it is that you're thinking of getting involved
right.
with. But I think going back to
I apologize. We've run out of time. I have to stop you. But we're going to come back, though, because you got more innovation wisdom to tell us in the future, which we'll do real soon. Thank you for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thanks so much, Jim.
Pamela Harper, ladies and gentlemen, Preventing Strategic Gridlock. Don't forget PamelaHarper.com. Check that out. Quick break. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.